Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. It's a joy to be together with you here, to sing songs like that. We know who we believed. It's our assurance. No reason for fear, Brother John. Absolute confidence in God's reality. And I pray that these things will also touch base with us. It's not just a statement. It's not just a glib thing we're saying to work our way through a week. But it's a reality and assurance also here in America. I'm pondering what to speak about. I look around and think. And the Lord impounded a few words on my mind this week that I thought were very much worth thinking about, speaking about. They're worth it already because they're in the Word of God. But they're also a very needy message, I think, for every one of us today in our time. I'd like to write them on the blackboard here, on the whiteboard, just to keep our minds focused. Consider your ways. I hope it's visible from the back there also. Consider your ways. I'd like to read a few verses out of Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. So thankful that we're still in a church where we take our Bibles along. Modern day churches that have just projectors and overhead screens and people come and go. The lives are not changed. Lives are hyped up. Lives are made emotional. But what a joy to have our own Bibles to look at. When the thought came to my mind, I just thought, Lord, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Looked it up. And lo and behold, it's here in Haggai. And the message is, I think, quite applicable to us. Let's read from verse 1, and we'll go on through verse 8. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first year of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. God speaks to a prophet in the time that the remnant had come back to Israel, to the land of Palestine, with the task to build the temple of the Lord. These people had been busy enough. They were busy. But the busyness they had turned them to saying, well, you know, it's not the time that the house, the Lord's house should be built. It's not that time. That's not convenient for this moment. God sees the seriousness of this statement and feels that something clearly must be said to the people. God sometimes comes to us too in certain moments in our life when we're tending to make some kind of decision and gives us a clear guidance. And God sends Haggai. He sends him to counter the statement. And he counters the statement with a question. God asks questions. By the way, if you look through the minor prophets, often, already in the first chapters, there's questions, culminating maybe in Malachi, where the whole book is full of questions. God asking questions to the people, and the people retorting with questions to the Lord. But here's another one. God, He asks them, is it time? They said, the time is not come for the house of the Lord. And the Lord Himself says to them, is it time for something then else? What is the time they were using? Everybody has the same amount of time. Everybody in the whole world has 24 hours a day. And like the tool that we have in our pocket, the hand that we just heard about, there's also this time that we all have. Everybody has the same amount. Is it the time for you, O ye? Listen carefully, you. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, in your well-carpented houses, it says in the Dutch translation, and this house lies waste? So the Lord is questioning their priorities. And I think that's something we should also put up for discussion. What are my priorities? What's really important for me? Is what is really important for me also that important in the eyes of God? Does God have the same concerns I do? Or am I working adversely to God's plan? These people were. These people clothed their busyness in making their own houses in Israel, in Palestine, where there was nothing and they had to get it all nicely settled. They clothed that busyness for their own things with a statement that sounded really nice and pious. You know, it's not right now to build the house of God. In other words, that's a good excuse now for myself. I've made it up myself and now I can busily carry on doing my own things. And we have that same tendency, don't we? To just make nice sounding statements that sound pretty nice and godly in the eyes of others and is just a cover up. It is just to let us go ahead and do our things as we are. And God, in His mercy, doesn't come down with fire. He doesn't come down and punish them, but He asks a question. Is it time for you to do that, O ye? You? Is the finger pointing to us? Is it the time to be busy with those things? And you know what? You're very busy with your own things, but my house is waste. My house isn't functioning. My house isn't where it should be. God's concerns about His house. And we know God's concerns were also voiced by the Lord Jesus, where He saw that the house of God was being misused. And my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, and you've made it a den of thieves. And took the cords and whipped the people out of the temple. Concern of God for His temple is so big. The concern for these people for the temple of God was so small, easily pushed aside. Oh, it's not time for that. Oh, I'm too busy now. In my own house, in my own busyness of my own interests. I really had to think so hard on what the Lord then says. Now therefore thus saith the Lord. It's not even just the Lord. If you notice carefully, it says there, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the Lord of the greatness of all these armies. I'm not just somebody. The Lord of hosts says through the mouth of Haggai, just three words, Consider your ways. And if that is not enough, in verse 7, the Lord even feels it necessary to repeat it, to say it again. Consider your ways. If we work for somebody, a big executive, and we're doing something for him there in a little office, and we're way down low, and this man comes twice to our door and says something twice to us, that's pretty serious. I can't just disregard what he's saying. God is here taking the trouble to say to these people twice, consider your ways. Are you considering? The reason you are now so busy with your own stuff is because you're not considering your ways. You're not aware of what you're going to do. You're not aware of where you're going. You're not aware even of what you're doing in the way you're spending your time. You consider your ways. And you work so hard. And you're so busy. And you're so much at it. We'll come back here, but we'd like to look just for a moment at somebody that was somewhat totally different to this. 2 Samuel 7. Go with me to 2 Samuel 7 and let's see the remark that is made there. Here's King David. Loved the Lord with all his heart. Was made king after King Saul rejoiced in bringing the tabernacle of the Lord out from the house where it was in Obed-Edom. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for David. He said in 2 Samuel 7 verse 2, the king said unto Nathan the prophet, so it's not the prophet speaking to Nathan, it's the king speaking to the prophet. He says, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And that's sad. So you know what? I want to build a temple for God. That was his will. And we know all about the disappointment David had to go through in realizing that no, that building of the temple is not given to you. You will have to wait. Your son will do that. You are a man of war. I don't want a man of war to build that temple. But God saw his heart. The longing. I live in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Now, there is no temple in Jerusalem anymore. It's gone. Everything has been pulled down. One stone stood upon another again. Another after the Romans were through with it all. It's destroyed. But thank God, in our time, the temple isn't made of physical stones, but living stones. We know it says in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't have to travel anymore to a faraway place like the eunuch who came to honor God there and to seek Him. God takes our state as the temple also very seriously, as we know. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So could it be that we can take these statements out of Haggai and start applying them to ourselves? Is that reasonable? Can we use what is said in the Old Testament for our education? I am most certain about that. God wants us to read these verses with seriousness and say, God, what does it mean for me? Now, it could mean just very simple, straightforward things. I remember when we were in Holland and we were just so praying and searching for a way to find a way to seek for fellowship and school, a way out of school difficulties, and a possibility came up to buy a house in Belgium. Just over the border, I'd be able to stay in my work, and it sounded like a good idea. So we went and looked, and it was more or less a ramshackle house, an enormous fixer-upper. Very, very much. But our grief, because of the situation, was so big, we thought, doesn't matter what, let's go ahead and do it anyhow. And we were just on the verge of maybe deciding to buy the house when a brother stood up in a Bible study and he read this verse. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lies waste? Our oldest son at that moment was young still, but he realized just as we at that moment, oops, I don't think Papa and Mama are going to buy that house. If we buy that house, and if I look at it afterwards, how much time and money would we have spent? How many hours and hours and hours trying to get this house livable? So there's a little practical thing there that we might just look at houses. But is it more than that? Could this text drive us to action? Consider your ways. Some of you may have been brought up with the German Bible, and it's interesting what it says there. It says, Schauet, wie es euch geht. Look how it is going with you. That's a good term. Just take a look how it's going with you. How do you do that? How do we look carefully? How do we take a good look at what's happening to us? And it's not a request just from somebody. Let's be careful. It's God Himself saying to us very seriously, consider your ways. So it's very, very much of God to just stop and think. Considering in this manner is something you can't do when you're extremely busy. Because then there's the flurry of things coming at you. You have so much to think about, and before you know it, the day's gone. So you might say there's an antagonism there. There's a tension in the air. Busyness and considering your ways can hit each other in a bad way. We will have to somehow withdraw from busyness in certain times and stop the whole circus of running around and doing the things that need to be done or seem that they have to be done, and consider. And some people we know in the past went to asceticism, and they would even have themselves walled up in a cave, and they would just sit there and think. And of course, that's the other total extreme. But I'm a little bit afraid of us, of our situation here, in the West especially, where time to consider is a scarce item. It's really not much there anymore. There's too much going on. There's so much from all different sides and channels just battering at us. The Hebrew statement in this verse says, set your heart on your ways. That's even more clear. So my heart, my attention, my emotions, my feelings must be on my ways. What is my way? Where am I going? Which direction am I going? It's a different remark than what the Lord says, for example, in Isaiah 30, verse 21, where we hear the words, this is the way, go you in it. We sometimes have that in our lives, where we're praying for certain things, we're seeking God's face, we're actively asking questions and then God says, do this or that. But in this case, we should consider our ways. That's different. I'm not at this moment asking God specifically for direction. I'm just looking at what I am doing now, what I'm doing right now. I'm going to consider that. The way I am living now, the way I'm spending my time, the way I'm going through my daily life. That's hard. I think nowadays for us, just to stop. Step on the brakes. Don't rush on ahead. Long ago in England, there was this little statement made to help children to know what to do when they come to the road. Stop, look, and listen. Simple. Three or four little words. Stop, look, and listen. You won't be safe crossing the road until you stop. I have to stop what I'm doing. I can't just continue on. We know all of children and others and dogs and everything and raccoons that die because they just rush headlong onto the road. And we have no time to stop the vehicle and they're dead. They didn't stop. If we don't know what it is to stop, and that's a necessary part of this here, consider. For to consider, you can't do that while you're rushing headlong into something. Stop. Look. Open your eyes. See where you are. Look around. What's going on? What's happening to me? What's occurring in my life? What's influencing me? Which things are now eating my time? Where am I spending all my time? Listen. Do I hear the dangers around me? Do I hear those things that are fighting for my attention? Am I aware that these things are there and that they're taking my eyes off of God? Consider your ways. It's a little bit intriguing, actually, or painfully intriguing to see here more than in Ghana, I might say. That's why it maybe stuns us so much to see how the modern society is doing everything it can to keep us from considering. All we do has to be super quick and fast. You can buy things now on the internet and you have just one click shopping. So you just click this button and immediately the money is off your account and into the others. It's so easy. I can do anything as fast as I want to. No hesitation anymore. And because I don't have to hesitate, I'll just rush on and do it. Real quick. Why wait? Why wait? Buy it now. Why wait? We'll defer interest for 60 months. Sounds great, doesn't it? It isn't great at all because you have enormous debts to pay, but it sounds so good. So just come on, take it quick. Yesterday we were driving home and we saw a sign. It's not too far away from the church here, actually. Pointing to a big subdivision, and I was just so hit by the statement. It said, you can have it all. Just $170,000. But the money isn't that important for me. It says, you can have it all. Just come and grab it. Snap it up for yourself. It's there to take. And how many people will just drive, wow, that's too good to be true. Rush in there and sign the names on the contracts. You can have it all. That's what I want. I want to have it all. Sad thing is that in our world is one of, you could say, commerce and pleasure. Commerce and pleasure where possession is mainly driven by lust, not by necessity. We don't buy what we just need. No, we buy as much as we almost can hardly pay for. That's what we want. The biggest and the best. Because it feels good. God, He Himself asks us, He pleads with us to consider our ways. Think carefully. Know what you're doing. Deuteronomy 32, verse 28 and 29. Oh, that they were wise. Oh, God says, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. Oh, that these people would just be wise. And they would consider their latter end and understand that. And because we don't consider our ways, things happen to us, like here mentioned in Haggai, where it says that we sow a lot and don't bring in much, where we eat and we don't get filled, where we drink and we don't have enough, where our money is put into a bag and the bag turns out to be one with holes, where we put clothes on but there's not enough to warm us. But we have so much and we have all the nice stuff and we want even more, and we find out all the time it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't bring me what I had hoped. All these things I'm grabbing and grasping and groping for, and when I get them, it just doesn't do what it was supposed to do. And God already here in the Old Testament states that that's the way it works. Consider your ways. But who in the world is going to stop and just think, yet all these things that I'm doing, all these fashions I'm running after, all these things that they're buying, you know, it really doesn't give me satisfaction. There's not any time to stop. I'm just rushing along for the next one. I'm trying to race on and find the next thing that could possibly satisfy my longings. And all God says is, consider. Consider. Why is it so difficult in our day and age to quiet down and just sit with God, or kneel before God and just be there? Why does it feel like a waste of time to do that? Why does it feel like we have so many things to get done? Please, hurry up and finish. Where God Himself here is telling us that all these things we're running after, they won't satisfy you anyhow. They won't give you what you're looking for. It's all fake. What I want you to do, and I'm saying it twice in this chapter, is consider your ways. Are you aware? If we don't stop and consider, we will be driven to our doom. There's good examples of that. There's a site you can go to in Alberta, the province I was born in, and it's called Smashed In Head Buffalo Jump, which is a translation of an Indian name. Now, the smashed in head wasn't from a buffalo, but from an Indian. That's what how the story goes, that was curious what was happening to those buffaloes that were driven to the cliff and fell to break their legs and be slaughtered. And he got crushed by a buffalo, and when they pulled him from under the buffalo, his head was smashed in. So they gave it that name. But the head smashed in Buffalo Jump is a place where Indians for many, many years have caught their buffaloes. And there are, I think, 12 feet thick bone piles over a great area where the leftovers of the buffaloes were placed, their bones. What they did there was to clothe themselves like wolves and other animals and then sort of move along with the herd and bring them into a V-shaped area where there was piles of rocks on the sides. And then they would start rushing the herd, rushing it on. And the herd would start running and galloping. And then they would come up and boo and make noise and everything. And the herd would rush on and gallop. And now they were in stride. Now they were doing the right thing. This herd was going to free itself from that terrible, fearful thing that was coming at them. And suddenly there's a cliff of 33 feet. And the buffaloes would one by one just fall over the cliff, break their bones or their neck, and be ready for slaughter. Rush on. Run on. That's what the world does with us. And we are going on to our heads smashed in buffalo jump. Just rush on. Keep on going. Run fast. And then at the last moment, suddenly we find out there's no going back because we're all running the same way, pushing each other, jostling in the same direction, and we fall to our doom. That's the purpose of Satan. The purpose of Satan is to not let us consider our ways. If the buffaloes would have stood still taken a good hard look at that little narrow place we're going, and oops, there's even a cliff there, and would have turned around, it would have had no effect on them. But they didn't stop. They didn't consider. Consider your ways. It's not only animals that went to their doom. I don't know if you know about it, but in the Nazi time, 60 years ago, people were herded into trains, moved off to concentration camps, and then rushed off to the delicing center. Hurry up, go fast, put your clothes down here. We're writing down what you have. Go fast, go into the delicing area. And we'll take care of you so that you're nicely sanitized while you're here. Hurry up, hurry up. And the door slammed shut, and it turned out to be a gas room where poisonous gas was sprayed in. And about 10 minutes later, everybody was dead. But because they were able, as Nazis, to keep the people running, keep them going, on the go, don't think, just keep on going, and I'll bring you to the place where you're actually going to be annihilated. And that's the way the devil works. And we look at that and we think, oh my, why didn't they just stop and think and look carefully? Why didn't they just realize what was happening to them? But before they did, it was too late. And that's the same thing for us, where God says, consider your ways. Are you also constantly on the move? The devil can bring it into our minds that it's foolish to be static, if it's foolish to just sit down and wait. If there's got to be motion and movement, and we swallow that lie, we won't be available for God's statements. Consider your ways. So for us, it is really good to realize, just to look at our own lives and not to be put under some kind of judgmental bind by somebody, or even by what I'm saying here today, because I want to leave it generic. It's not about the thing. It's not about, you know, the choice we're making. It's about what God says. God says it so purposely. Consider your ways. Think carefully. Don't just let yourself be swept on, but stop. Just take some time. Just switch off everything and just go into a silent place and just sit down. And it's going to be very difficult because we're not used to that, and our body's itching for movement, and we've so much to do. Just stop. Stop. And listen to what God is saying to us. Oh, the rush of this world. So we can stop. Consider our ways and think, yes, is this thing bringing me satisfaction? Is it bringing me the joy I had hoped to find in it? Or am I actually being fooled by the busyness of something, whatever it may be, whatever it is that's taking and eating away your time? To build God's temple, our bodies, the temple of the living God, the bodies where God wants to dwell in, to build that temple, we don't need any Lowe's and Home Depot. These things will not bring us where we should be. What I have in myself, as person, is no material for God, but my attention, my adoration, my prayers, my willingness to spend time with God. So we can also today, we can simply consider. Let's just consider. Consider yourself. Just look at yourself for a moment. Don't look at somebody else and feel that the message is maybe for that person. Just look at yourself and consider yourself in God's house. We as believers are told clearly that we're the temple of God. We know also that Christ's body is the church. So there are many reasons for us to be serious about it. And we can ask ourselves, for example, Just ask yourself, am I an asset to the church? Or am I a liability? Is my presence in the church causing burdens for others because of my unwillingness to bow to God? Or am I an encouragement for the church because I'm following the Lord Jesus and getting through my difficulties on my way up to Him? Am I an asset? And I can consider also, for example, is the state the church in right now, is that also due to the state I am in? Is my spiritual situation one of the reasons why the church is as it is, either for the good or for the bad? Somehow, as people, we so often have the tendency to have all our decisions already wrapped out and clear about how things are in the church. And we know it so easily, and it's so quickly said and done. Statements. If we would just consider our ways, my ways, consider your ways, God says. And I would consider, is the reason why things are in the church as they are, does that have to do with me? If we would be serious enough about that and honest, it would probably squelch all our statements about the way the church is, because the moment we say that, it just smites us with the reality of, and it goes farther than just coming to church on a Sunday, but I don't want to go into details there. Again, it's not about detailed judgment. This is about something far more wide, sweeping, far-reaching. God telling me, you there, plus, consider your ways. What are you doing? One of the other prophets, Samuel, said to Israel at the time that they were seeking for a king, and he was telling them all the things that would happen with a king, and they were sort of repentant, and he said to them in 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. Again, consider. Now, consider God. So we have two things to consider. We have to consider who He is. We have to consider our ways. Realization of where we are and what we're doing. And I'm not talking about a soft life where there's nothing going on and where we're just sitting under the tree. We had that in our school in Ghana where teachers would just sit under the mango tree and relax. But that wasn't what they're supposed to do. They were supposed to be in the classroom, and then it was my duty to go outside and pull them down and send them to the class they were supposed to be in. That's a wrong kind of sitting and contemplating. They were not contemplating the right thing. We have to ourselves pull ourselves purposely away from all those duties that are calling us and all these very important things, and we just have to step aside. And the Lord says, consider your ways. Can we do that? Can we step away from the hustle and bustle of our society to seek the Lord? Sometimes I fear that we don't even have the time to do that anymore. It's way too much. As soon as we go out the door here, the whole thing comes charging at us. All these things we have to do. But maybe the Lord, for that reason, has given us now some extra time on hand. And I would just like to ask you, could we just possibly sit quiet and contemplate? Can we just wait upon the Lord? The Lord is bringing tent meetings to this church in a few months' time. Are we ready for it? Are we ready to be filled with God's presence? Do we even have to wait for 10 meetings? Or can we just be quiet and sit and think? So why don't we just take a few minutes? Maybe we can, if you don't have little children, maybe just get down on your knees. Let's just kneel and let's just be quiet and just place ourselves before the Lord. Because it's the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, that is telling us here to consider our ways. It's very, very wise to do that. It's His plea. He says it twice. Consider your ways. And we can now, very simply as we're here right now, just simply say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I want to spend time. I just want to consider my ways.
Yes, Lord. We appreciate your guidance. Lord, we appreciate what you tell us. But Lord, most of the times we're too noisy and busy to hear it. And Lord, our whole society is geared towards action and noise. We thank you so much for these verses. Lord, we want to consider what we're doing. We want to consider where we're going. We want to consider what is happening to us. Lord, there's such a danger that we will be swept along by the crowd, by the whole system that the devil has set up. And our flesh works gladly along with the devil, Lord. We don't appreciate being quiet and listening and looking carefully. Thank you, Lord, that you give us an opportunity to just be silent before you. We know you love us. We know you want us to have true joy and satisfaction. And Lord, you're even willing to indicate to us that it doesn't come in the way that normal mankind thinks. Lord, we can't find security in the way men think and do things. We can't find joy there. Lord Jesus, we know that you were very busy here on earth, but even there you withdrew and took time to pray, Lord, and ate into your nightly hours, spent time when others were sleeping and resting to seek God, to seek your Father's face. Lord, we want to take these words to heart, Lord, that they could maybe become reality in our lives, that we would be able to say no to those pressures that seem so necessary, Lord, but aren't. Little things that would just eat away our time, Lord. Then the things we might consider pleasures or maybe nice things that we would also like to indulge on a little bit. And Lord, they're robbing us of those moments that we can stop and consider. Lord, the times are serious. We're in the end times. We can see all the characteristics of the end times. And we're not found faithful, Lord, we could be in for serious awarenesses, serious results for our own personal life. But Lord, we know that you don't want us to go there. Lord, I want to pray for the young people that are even more pressured by all the things coming at them, so much more maybe than when we were younger. Lord, in every day and age there will be a remnant of those that are on fire for God, that have consecrated themselves to Him. And Lord, we want to belong to that remnant. Lord, I pray for our dear fellowship here. Lord, do your work. Lord, bring a great awakening. Lord, come down with your Holy Spirit onto a people that is waiting and open and ready to respond, that have thrown away the deafness of ears and the blindness of eyes that come from the busyness of a worldly life. Lord, be with us and guide us. Thank you, Lord, that we know that it is your will for us to consider our ways. And Lord, here we are. Will you work through us and in us? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Klaus. You know, as I was praying, as we were kneeling in prayer, I was just thinking along the lines of time. And, for instance, with my wife, you know, if I'm hurried, I usually don't hear well. If she has something to share with me, and I'm just kind of busy and hurried, and I'm trying to listen, and I don't take time to stop and to where she knows that she has my full attention, I usually don't hear well. And I was just thinking, you know, in our relationship with the Lord, do we take time to quiet our hearts before Him, where He has our full attention and can speak into our lives, His will, His heart, His desires for us and all. So, thank you, Brother Klaus. We live in a busy world, and let's take time in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Should be the first priority of our lives. So, thank you for that. I don't think I can call it a warning, but thank you for that message, that to consider our ways. Appreciate it. All right. Are there those that would care to testify, care to share? Maybe what God's spoken to your heart as you considered. Here we have a hand. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up. Go ahead, Dwight.
Seems like every time Brother Claus talks to us, he has something stern and sober for us. But aren't you glad that God's burden isn't just on men of the Old Testament? His call isn't just on men of the Old Testament, but in our time too, men who will say what God's people need to hear?
Amen.
You know, I don't know if we can identify with what Haggai was saying, those people. He says, look, you've sown, you have little, and so on. You've all those things. If we look at just the natural, you know, if you drive a couple counties away from Lancaster County, the corn is shorter and more yellow typically than here. We just don't know what a crop failure is. And we're full of it. Everything. Things are going great. It's easier to get a job here than almost anywhere else in the United States. But if we look at the spiritual, I think we hear what God's saying. You're full of activity. You're doing your thing. But where's my blessing in your life? So God's saying to me, where is that overflow of the living water from your innermost being? Where is the abundance of the living Christ within coming out of you? Where is the fruit in the lives of others? Mike, that's what God's saying to us today.
Amen. Appreciate that, Dwight. Amen. Someone else care to share? Or we have a hand?
God can and does speak to us through tragedy, through storm and fire, those kind of things. But when Elijah was seeking a word from the Lord, he didn't find God in those, but it was that still small voice. So I want to be quiet before the Lord and hear that still small voice God was speaking, and not wait till tragedy and storm strikes to get my attention.
Mm-hmm. Let's be hearers. Anyone else care to share?
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.